Well, good morning. And Merry Christmas. How about that? We get to say that now. Merry Christmas. I mean, as you can look around, I love when it gets dark and stuff, and you can see all the lights, and I'm not sure, I think I know, but I'm not completely sure on who did all the decorations, but they look amazing. And as you see, we also got some more decoration back there by the cross and the stone, and really turned out to be really, really nice. And, you know, I love this part of the month, of just being December, and hopefully get back to some little bit cooler weather. And it just doesn't seem right if it's hot, you know. We don't need 80 degrees when it's Christmas and stuff. So, yeah. So I'm hoping it gets down there. You know, as we began to start looking at Christmas, as we began to start preparing our hearts and setting everything in our minds and our eyes on the things of Christmas, you know, I think it was important, even kind of what Mike said at the very beginning. It's not so much the things that are being commercialized about Christmas, but for us to lift our eyes up onto the person of Jesus Christ, that it's all about Jesus. Everything, the reason why we're here is all about Jesus, and that the fact that he came to be born and to live and to die, and to what we just sang about, that he's still alive and he reigns in our hearts. And I pray that each and every single one of us will make sure that we remember that every single day, that he reigns in our hearts. But if he does not reign in your heart, then what is reigning in your heart? We need to answer that question as we begin to explore God's word, because we want the Holy Spirit to be reigning in your heart each and every single day, so that you can have everlasting life with him forever. And so this morning, what I want to do is I kind of want to take us back to just a phrase that I mentioned last week. An important phrase that I hope that we'll never forget, because I truly believe that it will truly change everything in all of our circumstances of life if we will remember this one phrase. And the phrase that I mentioned, and the phrase that actually during that time, if there was such a word called trending, as my sermon series is, a phrase that would be trending often, over and over, for thousands of years, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and even it should be reigning and trending in our hearts every single day, is this: we should be lifting up our eyes. We should be lifting up our eyes. Lifting up our eyes to what, though? Well, the obvious answer and why we're here, the reason why you're here, is because you want to lift up your eyes to the Lord. You want to lift your eyes and your heart to the one, to the author and the perfecter of our faith, the one that shows grace and unconditional love, but also is one that is a just God, the one that wants to give you freedom and get you away from legalism and bondage, to a one that wants to free your soul up and to free you up to be able to live a holy and righteous life with God Almighty. And so to remember that, to lift up your eyes, you know, it was said so many times. As a matter of fact, over 20 times in the scriptures, you can find it mentioned that we are to open up our eyes and see the reality of God and his majesty. So I want to ask you something. First of all, are you lifting up your eyes to God? Number two, do you see the reality of God around you in your everyday life? Is he really a reality in your walk with him each and every day? Or is he kind of put on the table? Is he a fable to you? Is he just some Christmas story? Is it just a good thing to talk about and share with your kids? Or are you actually living out the Christmas story? Has he become a reality for you? Are you able to see his majesty in your life? So what does the majesty look like to you? What does his majesty look like to you? Can you see it? Can you hear it? Do you even understand His majesty? See, when I think about God's majesty, oftentimes it's after the storm, and then I see that rainbow. That's His majesty to me. Oftentimes, when I see His sunset or the sunrise, and I'll see some of you guys will post that every once in a while, and I'll say, you saw the same thing I saw today or this morning. And I'll see some of our members that will post that and say, look at that sunset or look at that sunrise. Or my wife, she'll say, you know, look at that. And we'll look at it as we're going to Pizza Getty out in Dallas. And and I'm thinking about pizza, and she's looking at the majesty of God. And then I'm like, let's focus here, you know. And sometimes it's easy to get sidetracked, and we're seeing the majesty. Oftentimes, not just the rainbow and the sunset and the sunrise, but when I go to Colorado and I'm up on the top of this mountain and I get to see or I get to look at the majesty of the mountains of His creation. Or when I'm sitting here in worship and I can close my eyes and the lights are flickering and then I'm listening to all the music and watching this praise band. By the way, do we not have an unbelievable praise team? They're crazy good. Some of them are just crazy, but some of them are really good. All right? I mean, to be able to see the majesty and hear the majesty and to be able to just understand the majesty, they're helping us do that as we worship God. And not to mention that if you live out in the country like some of you guys and you bought your house in the country because you wanted to get away from everything else, in the city, and all the city lights, and all this stuff, and then you go out there, and then you can look at the majesty and see the stars, and you see God's creation that, oh my goodness, not only does He have a name for every single one of them, but the fact that He created every single one of them is unbelievable, the majesty of God. Paul says in Ephesians 1:18, it says, I pray that, watch this, the eyes, meaning I pray that you open your eyes of your heart and it may be enlightened. I pray, Paul is saying, I pray, I earnestly pray that you open your eyes of your heart that it may be enlightened. Diophantesis. Diophantesis is the Greek word that means I hope that you seek wisdom. I hope that you seek this clarification. I hope that you receive this enlightenment that God is real, that God is out there and that wants to open your eyes. Psalms 146:8 says that the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the what? The righteous. For He says, be holy, for I am what? He loves the righteous. But He loves the unrighteous too. He loves the ones that go astray and go their own way. He doesn't like it, but He loves them. And so He will, as a shepherd, He will leave His flock and He will go find you because He loves you so much. It's a great thing that we have the power. And then I'm going to show you the whole idea of what Christmas is in just a second. So we look at two things. We see that the Lord opens the eyes for us. It allows us to focus our attention to Him. It gives us wisdom. It gives us discernment. It allows us to receive Him. It allows us to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. That we have a job of the Holy Spirit that God is opening our eyes and our hearts. So wherever you are in your life, the Lord is coming after you and saying, I am here for you. I'm here to give you this enlightenment. I'm here to give you a refocus to be able to come to me and to see me and to unravel myself, all the misconceptions, all the wrongdoings, all the things that you may hear in this world about me. Let me unravel one piece at a time so you can see and hear and feel and be able to receive that your eyes are open to feel my majesty. And the other is that we need to make an obedient choice to stay with God. The prodigal son leaves his father and takes his inheritance. David as a murderer and an adulterer, and Zacchaeus is up on the tree seeking. Come down from the tree. See, there's a part for both of us to have the Lord open our eyes and our hearts, but there also, it's our responsibility too. How many messages have we heard? And yet, how hard is it every single day to stay focused? It's a daily grind, isn't it, guys? We're all in this together, right? It's a daily grind, and it's sometimes that we lose our focus and we lose our grasp on that God is there for us, but we have a responsibility. So God said, lift up your eyes. Who did he say it to? Just so you know that you're not alone. He said it to Abraham. He said it to Jacob. He said it to Moses. He said it to Isaiah. And Jesus said it to every single other purpose that wants to follow him. If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. Every single day is a daily grind. Every single day is a daily decision that you have to decide. You want to become prodigal, or you want to decide you want to be holy and righteous and obedient. Lift up your eyes. Will you say it with me? Lift up your eyes. Let's do it one more time. Lift up your eyes. So when there's times that are getting hard, when trouble comes, what do we got to do? When worries begin to start, what do we do? When temptation begins to strike, what do we do? When we become stagnant in our walk with Christ, what do we do? When you want to just worship God and everything is going great in your life, what do? You continually, daily lift up your eyes. We got to remember this phrase because it was trending over 2,000, 3,000 years ago, and it still should be trending today in our everyday walk with Christ. We have to be saying this. A guy by the name of Dale Carnegie, as he was writing this book on how to stop worrying and how to start living, and this is a quote from out of his book that I found. It says, two men looked out from prison bars, and one saw mud, and the other saw what? Stars. One man looked down at his despair and his hopelessness, and he gave up. Have we given up on things? Are you still praying for something, but it just hasn't come to fruition yet? Is there something that you're praying for people, or you're praying for things? Guys, we've been watching a lot of answered prayers. Prayer works. Don't think for a second he's not listening to your prayers. That is his number one job, is to talk to us and to communicate with us. He is there for us. He's the only God that's ever claimed that, and he's the only God that really actually wants to do that. Every other God is, first of all, is dead. So he's the only one that has the power and the personality and the personalness to want to listen to us. So we should never give up. The other man looked up, though. He lifted up his eyes. He was full of hope, not willing to give up, not willing to give in, and not willing to give over to his circumstances. He decided, I'm going to live. Which one are we? Are we the ones that truly lift up our eyes to the Lord who created the stars in heaven in all circumstances of our life? Have you noticed that some people do better in some things and some people don't do so great in others? Have you like, well, man, you always do great on this circumstance. Why are you worrying about this situation? I don't know. My wife and I, we have this all the time. It's like, man, you have great faith in this, but this is bothering you? Mm-hmm. It becomes real to us because there's different things that worry us. There's certain things that we haven't given up or given in. You know, to give it over to God. And this certain things are, it's just holding us, and it's holding us in bondage. But we got to look at it, and we got to give it to God. We got to lift it up to him. All of it. Everything. Did you know those stars are the same stars that David was looking at? Isn't that cool? The same stars that we look at today, the same sun, the same moon, the same stars are the same stars that these people were looking at. Did you know that those are the same stars that the Magi were looking at too? when they were looking for Christmas, when they were looking for Emmanuel, when they were looking for Jesus Christ, the Savior of the earth, the King of the Jews. Matthew 2:10 says this, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Do we get overjoyed when our eyes are lifted up? When we see Jesus Christ in the majesty of who he is? See, David wrote these words in Psalms 8:3-6. It says, listen to David's words. God, isn't that personal? God, when I look up at the night sky and see your handiwork, the moon and all the stars that you set in place, I ask, what are the mortals that you should bother with us? You're too busy, God. You're way too big. I'm too insignificant. Even though I'm a king, I'm still too insignificant. Even though I'm just a shepherd boy, I'm too insignificant. How many times have we said that and felt that sometimes? And why should you care about me, about mere humans? But you made me, you made the unjust a little lower than the angels, and you have given us glory. You have given me glory. You have given me honor. And you have put me, you have put us in charge of everything you made. Lord, you are amazing. You are majestic. You are awesome, God. What's your word? When you are praying to God, what is your word that you describe God to? He loves to hear it. Go ahead. You can brag it to him. He's going to say, I know. Bring it on. I know I am. I'm everything that you're thinking. I'm everything. I'm all of those things. There's thousands of names to describe me. That's how majestic and holy and amazing that I am. And I love you. I am here for you. So when you look at the stars and you see all what I've created, I am here for you personally. Don't ever forget it, Troy. Don't ever forget it. Church family, 700 years before Christ, before Christmas ever took place, it was already trending. It was already mentioned. It was already going through the prophet Isaiah and several others that God would send his son Jesus to the earth. 700 years before Christmas, people were lifting their eyes to God for the coming of the Savior. And guess what? They were anticipating. They were hoping. They were praying, they were seeking, they were lifting their eyes and looking and waiting, and guess what? It came true, didn't it? And guess what? What's happening right now? Are we still anticipating? Are we still hoping? Are we still looking? Because it's going to happen again. He's going to come back again. And the prophet Isaiah said, the coming Messiah would come both great and gentle, powerful and personal. Listen to this. This is your holy God that loves you so much. He's going to come great and he's going to come gentle. He's going to come powerful, yet he's going to come personal. If you will take your Bibles, let's get into God's Word. Let's lift our eyes to what God has to say. Let's stop listening to Troy and let's start listening to God's Word here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, one of the great prophets that is going to share with you the coming of the Messiah and how the majesty of how God is in your life and why we should be so excited to be able to see and turn to Him. In the Old Testament, possibly some of you guys in your clean section of your Bible, after the Song of Solomon, before Jeremiah tucked in there, I hope that it no longer becomes sticky, that it no longer stays clean. You mess up those pages right now. You mess them up. You write in your Bible. You pray in your Bible. You throw coffee in your whatever. While you're in God's Word, whatever you need to do. Because what we're about to read and what we're going to talk about next week and dealing with the prophecy of the Messiah to show that our God really is this powerful. Let's start off in chapter 40, verse 9 through 11. Our verse of the week. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintop, shout it louder. O Jerusalem, shout it, and do not be afraid. How often do we get afraid, and how less do we ever shout God's name? In our workplaces, in our schools, and in our communities, we should be shouting, we should be talking about God and what He's going to be doing and what He has done for us in our life. Tell the towns of Judah that your God is coming. Who? Who is it? Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power, and He will rule with a powerful arm. See, He brings His reward with Him as He comes. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in His arms, holding them close to His heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. You see the greatness, and did you see the gentleness of Jesus? Now watch the power and the personal part of Jesus. Verse 12 through 15. Who else has held the ocean as in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? You remember that handiwork? Who else has known the weight of the earth, or who has weighed the mountains and the hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give advice or to teach Him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does He need instructions about what is good? Does someone teach Him what is right or show Him the path of justice? No. For all the nations of the world are but a drop in His bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales, and He picks up the whole earth as though it were grain of sand. In verse 22 through 25, so it's God who sits above the circle of the earth. Did you know if those people would have actually looked and saw Scripture, they would already have known that the earth was round? They wouldn't have had to worry about the flat and falling off. Go to Scripture. There's great advice there, okay? There's wisdom. God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to Him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes His tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly to get started, barely making root when He blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like a chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. You notice how I kept saying Jesus? Y'all mentioned, I kept saying Jesus, didn't I? I didn't say God. I said Jesus on purpose. Just to be clear, because this is what separates Christmas. This is what separates religions, is right here. God sent Himself in the form of a man to be born, to live, to die for our sins, to be raised again so that we may have eternal life and forgiveness for our sins just for you. So when we look at God the Father, we need to know that that is Jesus also, the Son of the living God that is in the flesh. He is right there with God when He's creating all of it. He's right there. John 10:30 says, the Father and I are what? One. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. It's Him. This is who we have a relationship with. This is who we're coming to celebrate. This is what was trending over these thousands of years, 700 years before Jesus, before Christmas was born. The prophet Isaiah promised a great and powerful king. That's why King Herod wanted to destroy him and all the other kids to make sure that he was dead. The great and powerful king to reign in our hearts. Do you have the powerful king reigning in your heart right now? And also, do you have Emmanuel? Do you have the personal and gentle side of God living in your heart right now. Do you have the personal and gentle part of God living in your life right now? When you look at your messes, when you look at your sadness, when you look at your hurts, when you look at the complacency, when you look at your rejection, when we look at our sides, and when we look at all the mess in life that we do each and every single day, we see them as children that has messed up. And I was thinking about the messes of these little children and what God must be thinking when he sees me in my everyday life. And how many of you think that these children have the know-how to really clean up their mess? Go clean your mess. Okay. You can come back at any time you want and the mess is still going to be there. Why? Because they don't know how, they don't have the know-how to really pick it up. You can sing the song all you want, everybody clean up. That is not going to help. Especially when you're alone and you're making the mess or you get in a mess with other people and you're like, get it cleaned up. And you're like, I don't even know where to start. And that is us sometimes in life. We feel like we've gone too far. We've thrown everything out the window. We've got too much on our face. We don't want to face people. We don't want to deal with anything. Well, are you doing this? Are you sure? And then as the curtain unveils what we really are, and we're trying to get ourselves cleaned up and we're wondering, I don't know how to clean myself up. And the answer is that you can't. You need help. We need help cleaning up our mess. We need our parents. We need our Heavenly Father to help us to be able to clean up the mess that we've made for ourselves. It's easy to make a mess, isn't it? It takes no effort to make a mess. But it's a lot of effort to get cleaned up. As I close this morning, Isaiah goes on to say this. And I want you to watch the very first words from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, 26 through 31. What does it say to do? Look up. Look up into the heavens. Look up. In times of doubt, in times of sorrow, in times of hurt, in times of pain, in times that everything is going great for you, and you just want to be reminded that it's Christmas and that we need to just keep the commercial side out and we need to keep all the other things out and we just want to keep the perspective great and we just want to understand Christmas a little bit better and we want to understand God's words better and we want to have this relationship better and we want to pray better, we want to talk to Him more. He says to do the first thing is to look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling, what did I say? Each by their name. Because of His great power, His incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say that the Lord does not see your troubles? Troy, don't you understand? I'm watching. I care about you. I have not forgotten about you. How can you say that the Lord doesn't care? I'm telling you right now, God cares. Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? I'm telling you, I'm here to convict and show you that I'm right here for you. Have you never heard? Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. You don't have to worry about, are you bothering Him? You don't have to worry about if He's going to leave you or if He's tired of listening to you or if you're on the clock with God. He never grows weak. He never grows weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Oftentimes, that's where we are. Even the youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find a new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. I don't know where you are in your life personally right now, not everybody. But I know that Isaiah's message 700 years before Jesus was born was needed for the Christmas story to exist. Because if you think about Mary, and you think about Joseph, and you think about all those involved in the Christmas story, what all did they need to do? They all needed to look up. Because their circumstances was not necessarily a Merry Christmas. But what got them through, and what got them to be able to be obedient, for them to experience the greatest gift in the world, was that they all looked up and they were overjoyed, as Matthew says. So what was trending 2,000 years ago and beyond, I pray will be trending in your heart today. Let's make it trend. Let's make it where every single person that knows Christ and that does not know Christ, hear the words of the Lord to lift up your eyes and your heart to Him. He'll change your life. He changed yours, right? Right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, God, to hear your words, to be able to experience such a great reminder and a great phrase that was mentioned over 20 times. Father, if it was just mentioned once, it would be worthy of saying and remembering and memorizing. But the fact that you said it over 20 times, Lord, must have been some words that was so prevalent, that was so obvious, that was so memorized, that was so reminded to so many people, where people needed back then, and obviously, God, people right now need to be hearing today. We must lift up our eyes and our hearts to you. And whatever circumstances are going on, I pray that they will say, I need to lift my eyes up. I need to lift my heart up. Let's pray for those people that don't know you, Father. Let's pray for those people that do know you that are just struggling right now in their walk with you. And Father, with me, with my messes, the messes that I have each and every day in my life, Lord, I don't know how to clean those up. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how. And some of my messes are beyond me. I need my Heavenly Father to help me. You're the only one. For you are the gentle shepherd that I need right now to help me. And I pray that any of those people that are listening right now, I pray that they will realize that not only are you powerful enough to do it, but you're personal enough to do it. That not only are you great enough to do it, but you're gentle enough to do it as well. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.